Morning, everyone. Let me just say off the bat this morning, we're going to deal with a difficult passage, a difficult message today. And for this reason, we're studying the book of Ephesians. We're already in part nine of this, been in the book of Ephesians for a couple months now. And we're in chapter four. And Paul's going to deal for us, the author of this epistle, his letter to the church in Ephesus. It's going to deal with unity in the church. And what does unity look like and what it isn't? And I, as your pastor, in going on 25 years of pastoring Living Word, you go through a lot of seasons. And we've gone through a lot of political seasons. And I know we're getting ready to go through another political season. And we didn't do so well as the church overall in the last one. And I believe there was a lot of things that caused division within the body of Christ, and even with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that ought not be. And what Paul will show us today is what unity looks like. How do we protect that? In our day and age, we need to do all we can as the body of Christ to protect the unity of the body of Christ. And how does that look for us, and how do we do that correctly? And because when we do it correctly, Jesus is glorified. I didn't mean to start. I know it's raining out. I started off kind of depressing. I'm sorry about that, but it's going to get better. We're gonna hear from God's word. Can we just pray and have God just open our hearts? Because I know hopefully this won't trigger some of you, but I hope it triggers you in the right way to get closer to Jesus and maybe to evaluate some things in our life that need to change, some mindsets that might be implemented in our brains that may not be of God. Can we just pray and just be so bold to say, God, if you need to uproot some things that are in my spirit that ought not be there, would you do that through the power of your Holy Spirit? Could we pray that prayer together today? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Okay, just checking. It's okay. You don't have to, but... would you pray? So let's just pray together. Father God, we need you. We need Jesus to be the Lord of this church. We need to hear, this is your word. It's your inspired word. We believe it holds all truth. We believe that your word helps us to know what your will is. Your word has all authority. We need to submit to it, as hard as it may be. We need to submit to it because we know that's where life is, that's where joy comes, and that's where freedom comes. Lord, we are your body, and we should never look on that lightly, that you gave your life for the church. Lord, I pray that we would be the church, that we would be one under the headship of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us today. And if there's things that need to be uprooted in our spirits today or in our lives that ought not be there, that would bring discourse or something that would not bring unity to the body, Lord, uproot that in our spirits today so that Christ would be glorified in this place and that we would be prepared to handle the things in our world with grace and love and truth the way you would want us to handle it. So we thank you for your word that leads us, directs us, provokes us, rebukes us, trains us in all areas of righteousness. So let us hear from you today, for we ask all these things in Jesus' wonderful name, in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's children said, amen, amen, amen. Okay, so let me start the message by saying this. This was one of Jesus' last prayers before he went to the cross. And what he prayed for was unity within the body. What Jesus unfolds for us in his high priestly prayer here in John 17 is how he was unified with the Father to do the work that he was called to do on earth, and then how he calls us and future believers to submit to that oneship, and he prays that we would walk in unity because when we do that, it's a witness to the world that God sent Jesus. Not our political stance. That's not the witness to the world. So I'm gonna hit hard right off the bat, okay? So be ready. That's not where we're at. Where we're at is how do we glorify Christ and how do we walk in unity and do the things that will glorify Christ in our midst. So listen to his prayer. Listen to what Jesus emphasizes in John 17. So we're going to start right off the bat. So buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. Ready? Here's what Jesus prays. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, speaking of future followers, that all of them may be divisive. No, that all of them may be what? One. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me and that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is God's word. Amen. So let's see how Paul reiterates these very words of Jesus to the church in Ephesus. Now Paul's writing this from prison. He's really not writing anything to rebuke them. He's just encouraging the church. Like he's saying, listen, I want you to continue in this unity. Don't get distracted, because when you grow in maturity, you will have discerning hearts to know when there's false teachings coming down the road that will easily divert your thinking and your mind away from the central truth of the gospel message. And let me just say this. Everything is about the gospel message. Everything revolves around the gospel message. Everything revolves around what Jesus came to do, and that was to seek and save lost people and to save us from our sin. We need to preach that to ourselves all the time, that I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. This world is in need of God's grace through the salvation of his son, Jesus. That is the purpose of the church. I am fired up today. I had my espresso this morning, so look out, church, okay? The first service ran out crying. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. If we get away from that message, that's where we get in trouble as the church. So the unity in the church is a witness of who God is. It's who God is. And so we need to do all we can to protect the unity of the body. So in this section, Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he reiterates everything that Jesus was saying here. And so Paul gives us the answer on how we can maintain the unity within the church. So we're in chapter 4. Let's look at chapter 4. We're going to look at the first 16 verses here. And we're going to look at two. There's a lot. I could spend 4 weeks just in these verses. But we're going to look at two main thoughts here that Paul was trying to bring out to the church for us to understand. So let's see what Paul says here. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, called in Christ Jesus, sons and daughters. And that this is what he tells them to do. Live out your calling this way. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Here's our mandate. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. See what Paul's getting? Oneness, 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 one in Christ. But to each of you, of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That's why it is said, he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does it mean he ascended? It means, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip his people of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there on every wind of teaching by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, this is how we're to do it. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen to God's word. Okay, there's a lot going in here, and I've almost lost my voice, so pray that I keep my voice. I went too hard in the first service. I should know better. Let's see what Paul is saying here, because there's a lot going on in these verses. Paul speaks to the unity of the body. What does he mean? Because it's easy for us to have a wrong understanding of what unity means. And it doesn't mean uniformity. It's not what it means. So you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm going to get to that in just a minute. It does not mean uniformity. Let's unpack this idea. Because this is where we need to be very, very cautious within the body of Christ. The question we need to ask ourselves is this. Are we unifying around the wrong things? See, what Paul's main point is, what is the most important thing in keeping unity within the body of Christ? And I want to look at two things that Paul brings out in this passage. First of all, what is the focus of our unity? And secondly, what is our attitude towards maintaining unity within the body? So what's our focus? And then what's our attitude? How do we keep from having a critical spirit? See, everything we should do should be focused on Christ. So here's what happens. The church can easily drift away and take its eyes off Christ when we drift away from the centrality of the gospel message. So what we see in much of church today, and I speak loosely when I say church in general, church today, is a lack of preaching or teaching the salvation of Christ and our need of salvation and repentance of our sin. And follow me, track with me here. When we move away from talking, and I don't mean, you know, hellfire and brimstone and you're no good, baby, you're no good. That's not, what I'm saying is this. It's not shaming and guilting everybody, but what I'm saying is this. When we move away from the gospel message that Jesus came for sinners, and we appease ourselves in the way we live our lives, there is no need for us to change. We just say, well, you're okay the way you are. That's why we're in the mess we are today. See, we needed a Savior. We needed to change because we were alienated from God because of our sin. And we are sinners in need of this beautiful grace that God gives us through his son, Jesus. Jesus came not just to make you a better version of you. Hate to break the news to you. He came because we radically needed to be changed and transformed from the inside out. We needed a Savior because all of us are sinners. That's the core of the gospel message. And much of the church has gotten away from that message. So then we drift off into these other fields and these other things and these other teachings that have nothing to do with the salvation message of Jesus Christ. And that's where we are today in much of Christianity, sad to say. So we have to ask ourselves, are we unifying around the wrong things? What is core to our church? It has to be the gospel message. So let's look at these two things, because everything should focus on Christ. And Paul teaches that Christ gifts the church with the ability to grow the body of Christ. So the purpose of gifting the church is to mature us in Christ so that we do not remain children, right? We need to grow up. We need to mature, and hopefully your kids will grow up and eventually they'll leave the house. Yeah, praise. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Lily's moving out of the house. She's our last one. Anyways, we're getting close to being empty nesters. The countdown is on. The final countdown. But anyways, okay. Okay. How do we do this? How do we maintain this unity? So the purpose, Paul says, is to mature us in Christ so that we do not remain children. So here's our desire. Our desire should be to grow in Christ so that we can protect ourselves from the things that are false and would harm the unity of the body of Christ. and that's staying focused on the gospel message that Jesus came for sinners. So our focus must be the gospel of Jesus, the message of Jesus, the gospel of Christ, that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. So our focus as a church should be that message and only that message. That's the core message of the church, that Jesus came for sinners. And we need that message so desperately because that's what changes us. That's what we unify around. That's the essential message. Now, there's going to be a lot of other things that we have opinions about that have nothing to do with the central message of the gospel that Jesus came to save sinners. And where churches become very unhealthy is when they take these non-essential teachings and they make them essential. We need to be very careful there. And so we all have our opinions, right? And that's fine. We all have our opinions. The problem is when I take my opinions and I try to usurp them on everybody else and say, this has got to be this way. So let me, you're saying, okay, what does that mean? Well, it could be music. Like, I like older music, you know, I like hymns, or we like more contemporary music, and we can argue and we can fight about these particular issues, right? I remember when I first became a Christian, early 80s, and that's when they really just started beginning to bring drums. Now, some of you are going to think, are you serious, Pastor? Just follow me. They began to bring drums into the worship. When that began to happen, you just thought, some people just thought the walls were going to collapse, right? Because that's going to bring rock and roll into the church, right? We're bringing, some of you are saying, really? Yeah, there, it was a different opinion about worship styles. Now, follow me. Follow me. I'm not here to argue about older songs written over 100 years ago are better than newer songs. That's not my argument. And we can argue all day long about new worship and how some of it's light and fluff, whatever. I agree with you. We can argue all day long about that. But what makes a song a worship song? What makes a song sacred? It's the words. It's the words that make it sacred. So you may have guitars, which I think we have a wonderful worship team, don't we? I'm very thankful for our worship team. They're wonderful. I love them. They still won't let me on the team, but that's okay. No animosity there. It's not my gifting, but I'm very thankful for them. And it's all about glorifying Jesus, right? So we can have different opinions about that. That's okay. We can have different opinions about that. But here's where we need to be careful as the church. That some of my liberties I need to forgo for the betterment of the whole body. Right? Some of these side issues that aren't pertaining to the gospel message, I need to be very careful because it can turn into a critical spirit that brings division within the body and doesn't create unity over the things that we need to unify on. Okay, I'm not done with that yet, so just hold on. So we're going to talk about this more. So why do I believe uniformity can mask itself in false unity? What do I mean by that? Because if it's not the gospel, then we're unifying over other things. And these are the wrong things. Do we vote the same? Is everyone like me? See, that's unifying around the wrong things. Unity doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. We're going to have different opinions when it comes to those things that are non-essential to the gospel. Once again, color of the carpet, type of worship songs that are sung. We all have our likes and we have our dislikes. The draw to a church should not be because we taunt a particular political position or unifying over something that is not essential to the gospel message. And listen, if you're looking for a church, this may be your last Sunday here, so hopefully it won't be. I'm just teasing. Anytime you look for a church, don't be caught up in the glitz and the glamour, whatever the exterior is. What are they saying? What are they teaching? Is the message about Jesus and salvation in him? Are they baptizing people? Are they taking communion? What are the things, you know? And listen, there are going to be difficult things that we teach at our church that fly in the face. It's totally countercultural to what you see in the world today. But this is the truth of God's word, and we're always going to share the truth of God's word in love. But there's going to be tensions because, say, wait a minute, this is completely opposite of what the world teaches. Yeah, because it's the truth of God's word. Are we caving to our culture around us, or are we remaining steadfast in the things that we need to remain steadfast in, such as the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage, all those things? These are paramount to what we read and are taught in the scriptures that we need to hold true to, even though it may not be popular in our world today. So, there are things where the church can quickly go off the rails when it begins to focus on these other non-essential things that have nothing to do with the message of salvation of Christ Jesus. So we need to be diligent as a church to stay focused on the essential things that lead people to eternal life in Christ Jesus, because it is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of heaven and hell, right? And that's, Jesus said to go into all the world and make what? Republicans, Democrats, independents, libertarians, right? What did he tell us to do? He said to go into all the world and make what? Disciples. So, oneness is becoming more like Christ. So how do we protect the unity of Christ within the church? Well, our attitude towards one another is vital. And Paul answers this for us in verse 2 and 3. So we know what we need to focus on. That's the message of Christ. That's what unifies us. That's what we're called to do as the body of Christ. The next thing is, what is our attitude towards these things? Well, Paul says this. He says us to be completely humble and gentle, bearing with one another in love. Now, Paul uses an interesting word here when he uses the word bearing. Bearing with one another in love. What does this mean? It means this: to put up with one another. It means to put up with all our idiosyncrasies, because we're all going to have different ideas about how things are supposed to get done. And we all have different opinions, just as I said earlier, about what I like and what I don't like. What he's saying here is bear with one another in love. Be patient with one another. Now listen, you can't show humility and gentleness unless you are tested. So what do I mean by that? It's easy to show love and humility to those who deserve it, or everyone who agrees with you, or who is just like you. But someone who disagrees with you or has a different opinion with you will reveal your humility and your patience of what's really going on in our hearts. Much easier to show humility and love for those we agree with. So Paul talks about how we are at different stages of our walk with Christ and how we need to help each other grow. So the easy thing to do is to nitpick others and not show patience. Paul is saying this: are we helping each other grow, or are we just criticizing? Right? It's easy to point out all the dust bunnies. You know what a dust bunny is? It's just dust that collects in a corner, right? It's easy to point out all the dust bunnies. It's another thing to go get a broom and a dustpan and clean it up. We can all point out the dust. That's easy. Criticizing is the easy part. But are we helping each other grow? Bearing with one another in love keeps the unity in Christ in the church. Criticizing will only divide the church. So, Paul says to do this, truth and love. So, we can speak the truth to somebody. Look at the dust bunny. Don't you see the dust bunny? Do you not see the dust bunny over there? What are we going to do about that? And I would say, what are you going to do? No. Is someone going to do something about that? Yeah, blah, blah, and we just complain. The truth and love cares about the relationship. The truth and love cares about that relationship. Now, the opposite is true. We can say, well, I just love everybody, and I don't want there to be any problems. I don't want there to be any animosity, and we never speak the truth. That's not loving either. So Paul says, to keep the balance within the unity of the church, we have to be able to do both. We speak the truth of God's word. We'll always do it in love and humility, knowing that I need God's grace in my life every single day. We will keep the unity when we look at each other, and we may have different opinions about things that are non-essential to the gospel message, and we may have different opinions, but we're able to bear with one another in love and show grace to each other, even though we may not agree on these non-essential things. We're going to show love to each other and grace to each other because we care about the relationship and the integrity of the body of Christ. So, we need to understand that the body of Christ is not individual people doing their own thing. Our world today is all about the individual, what they want, how they identify, and we're in a mess. The Word of God says that you were bought with a price, that you are not your own. The moment I come to the cross and I lay my life down before the Lord, what I'm saying is I lay down my rights, my responsibilities, everything, my will, I lay it down for you, Jesus. I now identify with you. Here's what Paul is saying. You are not your own. We are here for each other. What makes the body of Christ so beautiful is not individual people just doing their own things. Now I'm thinking about everybody else, how I can build them up, how I can love them. That's what makes the church so different. This is what makes the church so beautiful, is that we begin to think about each other and the grace that God gives us to use the giftings that he gives us to help build up the body. Let me just tell you, when you get away from yourself and begin to serve with a grateful heart for what Christ has done for you, it gives you a joy that you've never experienced before. And we're doing the purpose what God planned for us. And we unify the body and we exalt Christ at the same time. See, a critical spirit is a very dangerous thing, and it can happen in all of our lives because it's the easiest thing to default to. And we got to fight against that. We got to die to ourselves daily and say, Jesus, you bought me with your precious blood, and I am not my own. I am now yours. I identify with you, and I am now part of this larger church body, and I want to be used by you to build up your body so that you're glorified. And we do that by staying true to the gospel and how we treat one another in love and how we bear with one another in love. Now, let me give you a good example here of the difference between just sharing the truth, but being careful to always do it in love to find that balance, like Paul said, share the truth in love. Perfect example is when I taught Lily how to drive. Okay, so got her permit, and all our kids went through driver's ed. Thank you, Jesus, for driver's ed and those teachers. No idea how they do it. I couldn't do it. I would have had a heart attack a long time ago, stressed out. It would have been bad. We get in this huge parking lot, and I said, okay, she can't do much damage in this huge parking lot. So she was, can I just do some turns and drive? I said, okay, we'll get in this big parking lot. It's like a football field, so we get in this huge parking lot. I said, now here's your accelerator that causes the car to go. Here is your brake. This is the brake. This is the brake. Okay? So she gets in there and puts her foot on the accelerator, goes from 0 to 60 in about 5 seconds. So anyways, that was the end of my teaching her how to drive, and we just stuck her right into driver's ed and gave all that headache to those teachers. Now, here's the thing. She's still a bad driver. No, I'm just teasing. She's okay. She still makes me nervous. But anyways, Here's the thing. I could sit there and just criticize everything that's wrong, but then never teach her the correct way of how to drive. And I think what we like to do sometimes, and if we're going to be careful here in the body of Christ, is that we need to be very careful. It's like disciplining our kids. We can just tell them that they're wrong all the time. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you did this wrong, you did it wrong, and never teach them why. And then love them through the process. Because all they're learning is that they're wrong, but they never learn why. We're not really teaching them. See, what Paul is showing us within the body of Christ, yes, there are going to be times where we need the truth and we need to be provoked in our spirit so that we're aligned with God's will. But I want you to understand that God demonstrates his love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. It's all encompassed in his love for us. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. He wants to use you and your gifts, not just to have the gift and the spiritual gift of criticism, but he wants you to, which is not a spiritual gift, by the way, but he wants you to be able to build others up in love as we teach each other. And sometimes those are going to be hard conversations. Amen? But if it's done in love, if you truly love your children, you want them to grow in that knowledge, to make them a better person, to help them mature. This is what Paul is talking about. This is the balance. If we only criticize, we divide the church. But if we never share the truth, we will never grow. And so Paul gives us this answer by speaking the truth in love. If we never speak the truth, we are not generally showing love. We're just not doing it. However, and if we only share the truth without love, we will never grow in our relationships with one another. We'll just divide over everything because we just feel like we're getting nitpicked to death. See, love wants the best for the other person because they want them to grow in Christ. And without love, there's really no concern for the other person. It's just that we want to get the truth out and just let it be known. But if there's no love there, there's no concern about that relationship and how we're growing with one another. See, I want you to understand something here. Part of the gospel message is forgiveness. And so as we learn to grow with one another, we're going to have to learn how to forgive each other, just as Christ has forgiven us. But it's much easier for me to hold on to those grudges and not forgive other people because that's just the easier way to go. But that's not the gospel message. That's not how we grow as a church. That's not how we keep the unity in the body of Christ. We need to learn to forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us. You see, when I know someone truly cares about me, I will listen to their correction with an open heart. If I don't think someone cares about me and they're just more concerned about just giving me the truth or criticizing me, my heart's not really open too much. See, in order for us to keep the balance within the body of Christ, there's got to be truth and love balanced. As we speak into one another's lives, as we pray for one another, as we pray for the protection of the body, as we lay our rights down, as we lay our preferences down for the betterment of the body of Christ, and as we stay glued and focused on the gospel message. We're going to take communion, and I don't want us to go into communion haphazardly this morning, because communion is a sacred moment between you and God, and as the family of God, we're taking this together. Notice how we're not taking this individually. We're taking this as a body. And Jesus says, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. And what is Jesus teaching us by telling us that when we drink of the cup and we take of the bread, he's telling us, this is what he's telling us, everything I've done for you is for you, so that you might have a relationship with God the Father. Jesus' blood and his sacrifice for you and I is what unifies us. We're all under that headship of Jesus Christ now. And we're serving him. And ultimately, listen to me, when we serve each other, we're ultimately serving Christ. When you serve the unlovable, when you serve someone that doesn't agree with you, stop thinking, well, I'm just serving them because it makes me look good. Survey said, wrong answer. We're ultimately serving Christ who gave his life for us. If you can just think that way, you won't have a problem with an entitled spirit or I got to have it my way. Just remind yourself, I laid my rights down at the foot of the cross and I'm bought with a price because of what Christ did for me. So I can humble myself and serve those who don't deserve it because Jesus gave his life for all of us who none of us deserved it. That's grace. That's how we protect the body of Christ. And so when we take communion, what we're doing is we're celebrating that oneness that we now have with Christ Jesus through his precious blood. Jesus said, this is my new covenant that I'm making with you. It's through my blood. This is how you come into relationship with me. This is how you're made right before my Father. And so when we take communion today, Paul tells us not to take it haphazardly. If there's anything in your heart, any ought, anything that you need to ask forgiveness for, maybe for another brother or sister in the Lord or whoever it might be, and you say, God, I've got some bitterness there. I've got animosity, and I need to give this to you. It's been sitting in there, and this isn't a good thing because I know it's not good for me. It's not good for the body of Christ. It's bringing division. So, Lord, help me. And let me lay this before your feet. This is a good time to do that. This is what we're supposed to do as we examine our hearts. If you're here today or watching online and you've not come into that relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus says, come to me. Just come to me. All who call on my name, you will be saved. And you can have that right relationship with God through a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. And by all means, you can take communion today. Let's be the family of God. Let's pray for each other. Let's forgive each other. Let's show grace to one another. Let's be firm in the truth of God's word. And let's be overwhelming in our love for each other and the grace that we show, that the world might know that God sent his son Jesus. It's going to be seen in how we live it here in the church, how we treat each other, how we walk in unity, how we love each other, and how we abide by the truth. Christ will ultimately be glorified when we do those things. Amen? Amen. All right. Go ahead and take out your communion cup. The bread is on the bottom. Why don't we just open everything up, and I'm going to pray, and we'll take this together, and we're going to close in song. But go ahead and prepare yourself to take communion. Amen. So let us remember the bread represents Jesus' body that was given for us, that was crushed for us. The cup symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. There could be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Jesus was our substitute. And through his precious sacrifice, we are covered for, our sins are atoned for, and we're made right before the Father. So allow the presence of Christ to make you right. Let him cover you. Let him bring healing to your life. Let it be seen. Let this translate into how we treat each other. That's when you know it's real. That's when you know Christ is doing a deep work in your heart when you're able to give forgiveness. Let him heal you today and let him heal your relationships today. Amen? God is so good. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this bread that symbolizes your body. We thank you for this cup that symbolizes your blood that was shed for us. You became our substitute. And it's through your work on the cross that we are no longer enemies with God. That your righteous act upon that Christ appeased a holy God, a once and for all sacrifice, that through our faith in Christ Jesus, we can be made right with God the Father. Thank you for your grace. And I pray that grace is poured out on us through the forgiveness that you give us. It would translate in the way we treat each other. And that, Lord, we would be a forgiving people. We would be a gracious people. We would be a people that would walk in your truth. And we would be a people that would show this love to this dying world that so desperately needs to know who you truly are. Let it be seen in our witness of how we treat each other. Lord, I pray a protection over our church. Lord, I know that it would be so easy for the enemy to work its way in different ways and different angles, but Lord, help us to be focused on your message and the message of the cross, that you came for people, all people. In this world, even though we look at it and it's evil and there's so many things that go against what we believe, God, help us to realize that you died for those people too. Just prick our hearts. Let us never forget your wonderful salvation that you provided for us, because we were lost and we are sinners in need of your grace every day. So we love you, we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's partake of the bread together, and then let's partake of the cup together, thanking the Lord for his sacrifice. Amen. When you're done doing that, would you stand with me? Can we first thank the Lord for his goodness and his word today? He's worthy of it. Amen. We're going to sing that new song that we learned earlier, a beautiful song, talking about all the things that Christ has done for us. So would you stand with me? Let's just sing this in closing, thanking the Lord for his goodness. God bless you. Just sing this together.